chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. We're going to be coming back to this chapter in a little while, so I think it might be well we read a large portion of the 13th chapter of Revelation. And I stood on the sand of the sea, verse 1. We know what the sea is. It's a multitude of people, so we know exactly he's coming out of the multitudes of people. And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. We know what the seven heads are from Revelation chapter 17, and we'll be there in a little while. We know what the 10 horns are from Daniel chapter 8, Revelation 17, Revelation 13, Daniel chapter 2. You see, it's continued clear through the book. It's not a supposition. It's not something you have to guess about. Having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns. That lets us know they're crowned kings and kingdoms. And upon his head the names of blasphemy. The beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet was as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power. Who's the dragon? That's the devil. Revelation chapter 20 identifies the devil as the dragon. Revelation 12 as the dragon. He saw a red dragon. Revelation chapter number 20, the devil was cast into the lake of fire. Gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Three things: power to perform, a seat to reign from, and authority. I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon that gave him power, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is able to make war with him?" And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. Daniel says exactly the same thing, chapter number 11. Second Thessalonians says exactly the same thing. So we know by three scriptures, he's going to be a speaker that will speak blasphemies against God. Power was given unto him, and if you'll mark your Bible, notice how many times it said it was given unto him. It was given unto him. Not an ordinary man. If he'd been an ordinary man, just a man with, he will be a man from men, but if he was to be just an ordinary man, he would not have satanic power. By satanic power, he will reign and rule. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he notice the word continue there. Daniel says that he'll have a covenant for 7 years. Lets us know a little about that. He opened his mouth and blasphemed against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's a startling statement. If any man have ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience of the saints. Verse number 16 talks about another, or verse 11 talks about another beast, which is the false prophet, exercised the power of the first beast. But verse 11 said he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Three things are mentioned. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding. I looked up this word understanding in the Greek, and it doesn't mean outstanding ability or a computer mind. It just says he that hath common sense, horse sense. Just he that has ability to understand. Count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. It is the number of a man, 666. Your Bible talks about a coming world ruler. Your Bible predicted there will be 10 kingdoms over which this coming world ruler will exercise his power. He's called in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, the Assyrian. Several times he's called in the singular, the Assyrian. We could go through our Bible for just a little while. He's called the King of Babylon in Isaiah 14:4. He's called the Prince that shall come, not the Prince that is going to be our Lord and Savior, but he's the Prince that shall come. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. He's called the man of sin. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 3. He's called the king of fierce countenance in Daniel chapter number 8. He is called Antichrist in 1 John chapter 2, 18. You see, John said many antichrists are come, but he lets us know there's one that is yet to come. So this world ruler, one man who will bring in a world system, we will identify him by five things. If you have your notes and you want to mark down five things, there's five things that I identify him with. Number one, he will come out of a 10-kingdom empire or 10-kingdom confederacy that will reign in the last day. You say, Brother Branko, where do you get your 10 kingdoms? Daniel chapter number 2. If you look at Daniel for a little while, he shows four kinds of kingdoms that precede this. Number one, he said, the king saw a vision and he said, that head is the head of gold, and that is the Babylonian kingdom. There's no guesswork about it. Then he said, the arms thereof and the chest are of silver, and it's the Medo-Persian kingdom. Following that will be the belly of brass, and he said, that is the Grecian empire. Following the Grecian empire was to be a fourth kingdom, which is the legs of iron, divided eastern and western, the old Roman Empire. And then we come down, if you want to turn in your Bibles, we'll turn and share it. So we'll know we're dealing not with just guesswork. Someone asked the question not long ago in a question and answer session, how do you know that's 10 kingdoms? Why couldn't it be 10 something else? Because Daniel chapter 2 lets us know we're dealing with 10 kingdoms and 10 kings. In the interpretation thereof, he gives an exactness that there will be 10 kingdoms. Verse number 41 of Daniel chapter 2, whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of the potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part iron and part clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. For as thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings. Shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Hallelujah. Did you hear it? Glory. So we know now this man of fierce countenance will come out of a 10 kingdom empire in the last day. Revelation chapter 17 says 10 kings receive power 1 hour with the beast. That lets us know it's going to be a 10 kingdom confederacy in the last day. We could go again to Daniel chapter 8, and he lets us know that he also will arise out of that empire. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 2 lets us know there will be a 10 kingdom rule. I get amazed today at the speculation there is. This year, Greece will be united with the European Common Market, and that will be the 10th nation in the European Common Market. And don't you know, prophecy preachers are going to have a heyday saying, we've got it now. But what will they do if Spain is united and there's 11? And what would happen if Belgium comes in, or if Norway comes in, or Leningrad comes in, or some of the other little nations come in, and there's more than that? We better hadn't jump at conclusion. We better wait to let God fulfill it, because we're not planning on being here when it's in power. So let's just shout and preach about it and get ready to go. Amen. Say amen. I'm not much of a date setter. I'll just have to tell you, some have got it narrowed down to just a few days. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up every morning and say, this could be the day. And I'm going to look and watch and wait and pray and expect him to come. Hallelujah. Unto them that look for him, he shall appear. And to tell you the truth, I really don't know who the Antichrist is. I picked one or two out and they shot him. I get tickled today. A few years ago, the latest teaching was in prophecy circles, Henry Kissinger, poor old Henry. We had him added up. In fact, they added up his numbers in Latin, or the letters of his name, and had it 666. I found out there's been 119 people they've added up in some kind of a Roman numeral, a Grecian numeral, or Latin numeral, and they equaled 666. I'm not sure what Donald Brankle would add up to. And it could be. I'm not going to speculate today. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to preach the return of the King of Kings, the stone hewed out of the mountain. And we're going to tell the world there's a coming world ruler that will arise out of 10 kingdoms. But we don't know who he is. And I doubt if it's Henry Kissinger. There could be 100 in Washington that qualify, but I don't think he's going to come from that part. I like the way you're looking at me now. I wanted to relieve you a little while. It's awful to have an evangelist that doesn't know who the Antichrist is. I would write some of these religious stations. There's several on them that know. Say amen. Have you listened to some of these religious stations all day? I thank God for religious broadcasting, but if you listen to them all day, you'll be as confused as a horsefly and a bass drum. Say amen. I get amazed at what all is taught as being the authentic, inspired, infallible Word of God. So we're going to stick with the book. There's coming a world ruler, and you will be able to detect him, for I hope we don't see it, because what withholdeth will withhold until he be caught up or taken out of the way. And so we're the church, we're the light of the world, we're the salt of the earth, and blood-washed saints, keep your shouting clothes on. We're due to get out of here just about the time he gets ready to come into power. Lord, I'm not here just telling you that there's going to be green-eyed monsters eat your children. I'm here to tell you that if you believe in the blood of the Lamb and washed in the blood, stay filled with the Spirit and walk in the light of His countenance, there's going to be a glorious catching away. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But number one sign that you will depict or men will know, the earth will know, He will arise out of the 10 kings of the old Roman Empire. Daniel chapter 8 pinpoints it just a little more. Daniel chapter 8 says, and let's turn to it if you'd like to turn in your Bibles. I like to have scripture for it. Daniel chapter 8 lets us know. Verse number 9, and out of one of them shall come forth a little horn. Out of one of the four divisions of the old Grecian Empire. Alexander the Great, when he conquered the world at 30, wept there were no more countries to conquer. It was the swiftness of that reign of the Grecian Empire that overran the world. But now, out of these four kings will arise a little horn which waxed exceedingly great toward the south. So that lets us know he didn't come from Egypt. For it was divided into what? Turkey, Syria, Greece, and Egypt. Four kingdoms. These four kingdoms were the division of the old Grecian Empire. So we know that the man of sin, that little horn, Daniel said, will arise out of one of these four divisions. We can narrow that down because we know that it didn't come out of the south, so it will not rise out of Egypt. That eliminates Sadat. Poor old Sadat's got enough troubles now. He's got the Shah on his hands. And they can't make up his mind how sick he is. But he will not arise out of Egypt. That lets us know that. Daniel chapter number 11 says he will be called the King of the North. So that lets us know he's going to come from the northern part of the old Grecian Empire inside of the Roman Empire. Have you followed me? Here's what, let us read. And he'll wax strong toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And he cast down some of the host of the stars to the ground and stamped them upon them. Yet he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of the transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground and practiced and prospered. Then I heard one of the saints speaking to another saint, and said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? He said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. So number one, the man of sin will be detected because he will arise out of a revised Roman Empire. Right now, there is a major move on in Europe to revive and unite Europe together under a one confederacy. The European Common Market is a part of this. There's also another development there. It's the Council for the Unity of Europe, whose headquarters is in Greece. Right now, major political figures in Europe are trying to unite the old Roman Empire. It's been tried down through the years. Hitler's scheme was to unite it again. Down through the years, there have been a number of men that have sought to unite it. Not long ago, one of the leading figures in the European Common Market made a statement that was printed in your newspaper. He said in that newspaper, if Europe and the old Roman Empire, and what a startling statement, would unite together, just the European part would be 300 million strong, and we would unite to become one of the strongest nations in the world, or forces to deal with in the world. This is how close we are, and things are arising on the horizon now that would like to unite it. So the man of sin will arise out of the old Roman Empire, and 10 kings will be in power when he comes forth, the little horn out of the 10 kings. Number two, you will detect him by a covenant he will confirm with Israel. Daniel chapter number 9, if you want to mark down the scripture, I believe it's found in verse number 27. He shall confirm a covenant with Israel. Right today, while I'm speaking to you, the number one spot the whole world has its eyes on is Israel. What stands in Russia's way of having three continents in its hand is Israel. Israel has a friend called the United States, and I hope we remain one. I'm thrilled today that we stand with them. For God Almighty is reviving Israel, and God will bless them that bless him and curse him that curses Israel. Nations are in for a rude awakening. When they touch Israel, he said in the Old Testament, they touch the apple of his eye. I know he had to divorce her and put her away. I know she became an adulterer. I know she became a whoredom, practiced whoredom and went into sin. But she is still the covenanted one that God has a covenant with. Hallelujah. So he will confirm a covenant with Israel for how long? 7 years. That is the only scripture I know that lets me know when the tribulation will begin. Now, when that happens, people will know exactly how many days they're going to have tribulation. Now, I don't know when the rapture is going to take place, but once the raptured church is gone and God Almighty starts that last week, and one man arises out of a 10-kingdom rule and makes a covenant with Israel and promises peace for 7 years, folks on this earth are going to know this book is coming to pass. You can mark your calendar. You can put down the days. It'll be exact. Hallelujah. Now, there's not a scripture in this Bible that tells you when the rapture takes place, the tribulation starts. I do not believe the church will go through the great tribulation. There's not a scripture that hints that. Amen. Say amen. Now, there's some that believe they are, and I think they are. I'm just sure they are. But amen. But I believe the blessed blood-washed church is going to be caught up. And I like that word, caught up. Snatched up. Hallelujah. Caught up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So we are not going through the great tribulation. That doesn't mean your church won't have tribulation. There's some churches have had it for years. Would you shout now? Thank you for those good amens. And some look like are in for a lot more. In the world, you will have tribulation. But it's not great tribulation. It's not Daniel's 70th week. Because if I read my Bible right, we're going to get out of here with a rapture. Hallelujah. Now, I believe that there is. I do not know how long the time is, but I'm convinced there's an interim of time between the rapture and the tribulation. I think the Bible hints this interim of time in between. But men will know that the tribulation begins and will know the Antichrist and will detect him, because he will confirm a covenant with Israel for 1 week. I've got to hurry. I'm not getting to my time. Number three, you'll know him by this. He will be a peacemaker. Your Bible calls him a peacemaker. Daniel chapter 11 says he's going to come in with flattery and with peace. Over and over, the same thing is said in your Bible. I get amazed at how many things that are in this Bible more than once. You want to notice some things about the man of sin. It's in at least three places. Revelation, 2 Thessalonians, and Daniel, that he will do according to his will. That means he'll have ruling power. At least three books in your Bible says that he will exalt himself above every god. Three different inspired writers said he will exalt himself above every god. Three inspired writers said he will speak marvelous things against Almighty God. Three inspired writers of the book said that he will prosper till the indignation be accomplished. Not all of them say it in that word, but all of them promise prosperity, and he's coming with peace and prosperity. A world system crumbles. Yesterday morning we spoke on the battle of Gog and Magog. I'm fully convinced that when God Almighty defeats Russia, Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, and East Germany, when Russia falls, will create such a vacuum that it will be easy for a man to step into power overnight and become a world ruler. I'm convinced the fulfilling of Ezekiel 38 and 39 will pave the way, and the world will clamor after somebody that has a new economical system, a new political power, someone that can settle the problem in the Middle East, and the devil is ready to furnish a man at that exact zero hour. He will confirm a covenant with Israel for 1 week. The Bible lets us know that all, at least three times, he will not regard Jehovah as God. He will not regard the God of their fathers. He will, all it lets us know that he will be successful in conquering extra territories. The Bible, all of them, there are at least three Bible writers that say he will reign out of Jerusalem. That's one of my strong points, that I believe Ezekiel 38 and 39 is not Armageddon. It cannot be Armageddon, because the man of sin reigns in Jerusalem the last 3.5 years. And the Ezekiel 38 and 39, he comes down against Israel in a battle. I think we identified it beyond any question yesterday, that that is the land of Rosh, the land of Magog, the land of Meshech and Tubal and Gomer. So he's a peacemaker. It'll be a false peace. In the middle of the week, he will break his covenant. Your Bible said that he will turn to destroy Israel, and Israel will flee into the wilderness, Isaiah 16. In the land of Edom and Moab, God Almighty said Edom and Moab will escape out of his hands, and Israel will flee into Selah. Isaiah 16, if you want to mark in your Bible where it's going to happen. And in Petra, God will protect them. There is a place in Petra. Many of you have been there. These large walls, I understand now, the other day, an Arab confirmed this, and pictures were taken of it, that there's a huge storage of food in case of emergency already in Petra. But that didn't prove something to me. How everybody's going to Petra now? How will God hide Israel in Edom and Moab? I'll tell you how he'll do it. It will not be Petra or its walls of rock. It'll be the hand of Almighty God that will protect them. Say amen. It's God's hiding place. Now here's something that startles you. Several Israelis have been killed searching the route to Petra. One of the leading university professors and one of the heads of the military in Israel just a few days ago sat down with an Assembly of God minister. And here's what he said. We know that there's a day coming when we're going to flee and go to Petra. And he said, I have put a map on how to flee from Jerusalem when the big war starts. Isn't that something? something. Now, this is just a few days ago. And I saw a picture of the map and a picture of the man that said it and said, we have plans now. Excavation routes plan to go there. Because she slipped over across the Arab lines into Petra to find that place. Folks, this Bible thrills you today to know right now, it's a known fact among Israelis, they're planning an excavation to that very spot in case of emergency. Whew. We're on shouting ground, folks. Let me hurry. Time will get away from us. He'll have a false peace for 3.5 years. He will prosper. He will practice. He'll make Henry Kissinger look like a chore boy. He will manipulate world affairs. He will be the idol of the world because he will denounce God. No doubt he'll be a homosexual. And the women's lib and the homosexuals are looking for somebody now. They'll run on their ticket. Am I right? He will not regard women. He will not regard the God of his fathers. He's going to be a king of fierce countenance. He'll be a king of strong speech. He'll be a world manipulator. He'll have 10 kingdoms under his reign. 3 of them he'll take by force. 7 of them will give their power. And he will have a 10 world kingdom in his hands and will be the strongest figure on the horizon. But all of a sudden something happens. I get amazed. I am convinced, according to Daniel chapter number 11, that something happens, or Daniel chapter 9, something happens in the middle of the week. Revelation chapter 13 says one of them had a deadly wound and was healed, and all the world wondered after him. Revelation chapter 13 said he was and he is not and yet is. I'm going to throw out something for you just to think about a little while. I'm convinced that in the middle of the week he plants his tabernacle, according to Daniel 11, in Jerusalem. When he does, he defiles the temple in Jerusalem and pollutes it. When he defiles the temple and pollutes it in Jerusalem, I'm convinced the Jews have now their strongest law is to kill anyone that defiles that temple. Now, number 3 sign you're going to know is he will defile the temple in Jerusalem. If you're marking it on your paper, number 3. There is a temple that will be built. I hear so much about this synagogue that's being built, but that's 3 miles away. Get your shouting clothes on. They're fixing to build a temple again at Old Mount Moriah. Have any of you been to Israel in the last 4 or 5 months? Let me see your hand. Last 4 or 5 months, you've been there. Did you get to go down? Don, did you get to go down and look where they've unearthed just a few weeks, months ago, the old temple site and said, we have found the corner? Makes me want to shout. Say amen. Get your shouting clothes on. We are on our way to that city. And the coming of the Lord must be at hand. Now this temple that's going to be built is a holy temple. The Bible calls it a holy temple. It's going to be Israel's temple of worship. There's a difference between the temple and the synagogue. A few days ago, I don't know how authentic this is, but I know that the man told it, for we saw the pictures of the man that showed it. He said, we are prepared now to build. But brother, the temple doesn't have to be built before we get out of here. We could be out of here any day. Some of you folks are waiting on the temple to be built before the rapture. You're maybe waiting too long. Get your shouting clothes on. We're not going to go to a temple in Jerusalem. We're going to a heavenly Jerusalem and be in company with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The number 4 sign is the temple will be polluted in the middle of the week. I am convinced, according to Daniel 17, Daniel chapter 13, that the man of sin will receive a deadly wound. and will be healed in the eyes of the world. And to me, this explains how he's the beast that ascended out of the pit. I do not believe he is Judas Iscariot. I do not believe that he's a lot of these names that we're getting. The other day I listened to a Bible speaker speak, and he said he will be a test tube product. They're going to be able to discover life, and he'll come out of a test tube. I doubt that. I think he'll be a man that'll be incarnate with the spirit of the devil, and whenever the devil manipulates his resurrection from the dead, either by signs or by a lying wonder, then the whole world will worship him as God. And the last half of the tribulation, he will be Antichrist and worshiped as God, for he sitteth in the temple as God, and the whole world will wonder after him because he mimicked the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me give you a little something to think about. Don't compare this. I just want to give you something for thought. If John F. Kennedy, when he was shot in Dallas, Texas at the book depository, when John F. Kennedy was carried back and put under the rotunda and the world came by to view him or come by to pass by his casket in honor of him, if he had reached up, if some religious leader, world renowned, from Rome or from the Middle East, a prophet of Muhammad, had have come to Washington and walked up to that casket and claimed in the name of his God to raise John F. Kennedy from the dead, America would have gone wild and we would have never had another presidential election as long as he lived. Am I right? Now don't read something into that I didn't say, but this world leader receives a deadly wound and is healed, and the whole world wonders after that beast. And I'm convinced the man of sin becomes Antichrist and worshiped as God, and Revelation chapter 13 says he's going to continue 42 months. So you know how long it'll be after that. There's another mark in the tribulation period. 1260 days. Put it on your calendar. From the time he gets his deadly wound and healed, we know exactly how long he can continue. Isn't it startling that God's going to put it in capital letters? So I'm going to have to hurry to the 666. Our time will get away. The temple will be built. The man of sin will receive a deadly wound. He will pollute and desecrate the holy temple. No doubt will be risen from the dead to mimic the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the world will believe he is the Messiah because he will be incarnate with the devil and will declare himself God from the temple. Number five, one of the reasons we look to him, we'll be able to know him. He will have a mark or a name or a number. I get amazed at how many antichrists they've been down through the years. When I was a boy, I heard of a lot of them. Number one was Hitler. We just knew Hitler. In fact, I've got a book in my library right now that says Hitler is the Antichrist and was written by an outstanding leader. I've got another book that said Stalin is the Antichrist. I have another one that said Mussolini. Now he did look like, he had, fact of business, they had his name down. Viva illa dusa, which if you were to put it in the Greek language, was 666. And everybody knew when Mussolini come along, we found him. Not long ago, I read an article where they said the Pope has three crowns. And on those three crowns are numbers in Roman numerals that equal 666. But really, I don't think the Pope is the Antichrist. I don't think Mussolini was the Antichrist. He's a goner. Hitler wasn't the Antichrist. Then a few Republicans came along and said Roosevelt was. I like the way you're looking at me now. Then a few years ago, I got a hold of an article that said Nixon's name spelled 666 in some language. And then we had Henry Kissinger. We've had men all down through these years. I'm not here to speculate on the 666. The Bible simply says it's the number of a man. We're getting ready and we're moving toward a world system. I told you, and I want to share it with you in this morning crowd. A few days ago, I was home. In my daughter's church, I attended service on a Wednesday night. They were in revival. The pastor said, would there be a few testimonies? And a lady stood up and said, a friend of mine in Shreveport, Louisiana, received her new Visa card. It had 666 as its prefix. She sent back the Visa card or called the office and said, I don't want it. This is the mark of the beast. And she received another card and a letter saying, we're sorry, it is a mistake of the computer. These are not out till 1982. Startling that I'm hearing so much about 1982. A few days later, just the Saturday following that Wednesday night service, I flew into Sacramento, California to begin a revival. The pastor picked me up at the airport. He and his wife picked up Sister Brankle and I. Driving up to the church that night, he said, Brother Brankle, we had a strange thing happen just up above us at Assembly of God Church. Two ladies in that church applied for their Social Security card. When they received that card, its prefix numbers were 666. They said, we don't want these cards. They called the Social Security office in Sacramento and said, we don't want it. And the man in Sacramento said, I don't see how you got these. These were not to be issued till 1982. And in 30 minutes' time, the sheriff was there and picked up these cards and said, it's a mistake. I didn't want to tell this, for I'm not one that jumps to conclusions. I like Bible evidences and not Newsweek magazine evidences. So I said to the pastor, will you call that pastor and verify this? We called the pastor. The pastor said these words, we didn't see the 666 cards, but two ladies in my church received them and they're very reliable. But in less than 30 minutes after they had them, when they called in, the sheriff came and picked them up and said, we apologize. This is a mistake. They're only for 1982. My daughter's home church, a lady in the church whom I know and have known and used to pastor, my other daughter's church, a few nights ago said, my friend in Tulsa received her new card. And the prefix on that was 666. She called the office and said, I don't want them. This is the mark of the beast. And they said, we're sorry, this is a mistake of the computer again. These will be out in 1982. Now friends, we're getting close to that hour. I do not believe that the church will have a chance to take the mark of the beast. I've got a feeling that the blood-washed, redeemed bride will be gone. Hallelujah. And folks, we ought to be praying, even so come Lord Jesus. Friends, when this world can neither buy nor sell without a mark or a name or a number. Right now, I have an article in my paper, in my briefcase now, printed by a secular college. It said the other day in this secular college, we propose now that we permanently identify men with a mark or a number. Secular college. Few days ago, a man on NBC broadcasting system said, I can settle inflation overnight. And he said, there is only one way, and that is issue a world currency that does not fluctuate from country to country. A world currency. And he said, we're not able to handle that with paper money. We need to make it a computer and have it a number. Get ready, friends. Our Lord is coming back to earth again. We're in a world today that's fast moving toward vaults that are no longer vaults. It's a computer machine. This very morning, this morning on NBC, did you see it? When the man came up and said, today banks are no longer greenback, it's computers. And he told how the world is being chiseled and how underworld characters, there's over 1 million computer technicians have learned how to tap into this computer system. A few days ago, I was up in the camp meeting in the north, and in that state is the headquarters of IBM. A computer technician, he is one of their top men. Used to be over the Texas division, now is in the headquarters. He held up his hand like this, about like this, maybe 12 inches, 13 in diameter, and said, Don, and I was raised, I know this young man. He says, he's a not a young man now, but a brilliant brain. He said, I can put the information of every man, woman, boy, or girl in the world on one microfilm tape and tell you their name, their address, their age, their occupation, their religious preference. Did you hear it? He said, what is startling about this? We have vital statistics now in storage in America on every human being. And those vital statistics are being stolen day after day by computer technicians, and the whole world will know them. We're in an end time. Our Lord is coming back to earth again. Not only that, but he said, right today, we have the hardware. We have the ability. We have the technical ability to scan an invisible number, a mark or a name or a number, and men could buy and sell today with what Revelation describes. Get your shouting clothes on. We may get out of here before this camp's over. Let me hurry. He will come with a mark, with a name, or with a number. We're preaching today that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be out of here. I'm going to tell you something, friends. We would face some serious decisions if the Lord doesn't come, and 1982, we have a new card issued every one of us that we buy or sell, and the prefix number is 666. You'd face something. We would make some decisions. Let me give you a little further word. I want my time. Mark's over here with both hands up. I wish I had more time. This tape doesn't know how I'm feeling now. I've just got you down to where I want. Let me hurry. Men will not buy without a mark or a name or a number. Now, this insignia of the beast could be his mark. The name of the beast or the number. The number is 666. Makes me shout to know that I've got the hope of the rapture. There are three sins in your Bible, and I'm going to hurry. Three sins that God will not forgive. Three sins God will not forgive. Number one of them is willful, final rejection of Jesus Christ till mercy meets its end. And you can't commit that sin till God's knocked at your door and knocked at your door and you've spurned the mercy of God. That's not a sin that's committed by the heathen. It's a sin that's committed by hardened sinners that have walked out from the call of God. Number two, the Bible said, he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, it'll not be forgiven him in this world, nor in the world to come. Now, you'll not blaspheme against the Holy Ghost till you've got the light of the Scripture and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come. Anything that's as serious as blasphemy against the Holy Ghost that cannot be forgiven, God Almighty is not going to cause it to be a casual thing. It's something, it's a sin against light. Paul said, I was a blasphemer, and then I received mercy from God. Number three, the third sin that cannot be forgiven him, and that is the receiving of the mark of the beast. His number or his name in your right hand or in your forehead. Now the Bible, let's go in our Bibles, chapter number 14 of Revelation. I've got so much I wanted to share, but time is going to get away from us. Revelation chapter number 14. Anything that's as serious as a one-man rule and a one-world system. And one morning we're going to talk about the nations that escape out of his hand that go into the millennial reign. If God will help me, it's going to be Friday morning. But I want you to notice, Revelation 14, God sends three angels to circle the earth and cry from the air. Three important things are so important till God Almighty is going to depend on angels to help him carry the message swiftly. Did you know, one morning we're going to be discussing this, when God calls 144,000 preachers out of Israel and sends them out, and they're fanatics during the tribulation period. You say, Brother Brankle, are people in America going to get saved? I don't think people in the Assembly of God Church have got a chance to go in the rapture. Go up to heaven if you miss the rapture. You didn't hear me. The Bible said, because they did not love the truth, God will send them a strong delusion that they might all believe the lie and be damned. You've had your chance. I believe there's going to be a multitude saved out of the tribulation, and a multitude that no man can number. But I don't believe it's these people that have dilly-dallied around church and missed the rapture and then are going to run in and get a second chance. It's going to be people that haven't heard his name. And there's over 2 billion people that haven't heard his name. And God's going to call 144,000 to preach about the time we get out of here and fill them with the Holy Ghost. And they're going to be living fanatics for God and going to preach everywhere. Makes me want to, I want to get into that one morning. I'm in Revelation 14. Mark, how are we doing? He's got one hand up and very few fingers. Let me hurry. The third sin that cannot be forgiven is the receiving of the mark of the beast. And God's going to send three angels in the tribulation period, and the first angel, Revelation 14:6, is going to fly through the midst of heaven having an everlasting gospel, and is going to scream and say with a loud voice, fear God, give him glory. This guy is a liar. Say amen. That's going to be shouting news. When God sends a special angel to warn us so we'll know to believe in God and not on the man of sin. The second angel is going to fly through the heavens, and he's going to cry, Babylon is fallen. Babylon is fallen. And brother, there's going to be shouting in heaven. When that news trickles into heaven and gets up to the marriage supper of the Lamb, Revelation 19 says we're going to jump up and shout. Say amen. New York Times is going to say tragedy, and we're going to shout, say glory, glory. The disco blew up. The liquor distillery were caught on fire. Hollywood fell in the sea. Glory to God. I like the way you're shouting. Let me give you the third angel's message. It's so important. You see, the man of sin is forcing the world with a one system, a one world system, a one number system, a one plan. And all of a sudden in verse number 9, and a third angel followed them saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God that will be poured out without mixture. If you mark your Bibles, draw a little line under without mixture, without any mercy, without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented day and night, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. Get your shouting clothes on. God's going to send an angel and warn this world not to take it. Don't take it. Give your life. Crawl in a rock. Eat blackberries. Hallelujah. Say amen. Get ready, folks. There's going to be something. And there's going to be some people that will come out of tribulation. For I know so an innumerable host. And thank God the devil's plan will not work. Hallelujah. I know him who reigns and rules, who is the stone hewn out without my hands, and will come and grind to powder the Gentile supremacy, and will lay hold upon the man of sin, the Antichrist, and the false prophet in Revelation 19. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Shout hallelujah. He will rule whose right it is to rule. For he's King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah to his name. Woo, hallelujah. Let's praise him this morning. Shiloh! Shiloh! Reverendo Shimbara the Kandra Babamande. Woo! I think we ought to stand on our tiptoes and welcome Jesus back today. Come, Lord Jesus, in clouds of glory. Come and redeem and rescue and catch away thy waiting bride. We lift our hearts and hands and cry, even so, come, Lord Jesus. He cometh, he cometh, he cometh, he cometh, he cometh. Shandadadamamandolabadadamahah.